today I ran out of my house like a crazy woman to get down to the studio. Literally ran out of my house. In Olympia, they do wonderful things for their bus drivers. We have a great transit system, but on the weekends, the buses run every hour.
The best transit system in America.
That is D helping me out today.
We run on veggie oil, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm sure I was running on veggie oil today because I was booking it to get down here. And I thought, you know, that's great because I wanted to discuss a couple things today about time and measurement and all sorts of things just to get your thinkers thinking. And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be on time. I don't know if I'm going to be on time. I felt like the white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. You know, I'm late. Kept looking at my watch and I'm like, this is insane. And how well it fit in. And then I thought, I'm going to get there and I'm going to say, first thing I'm going to do is say, I need to go to Bike and Bike.
Yeah, Bike and Bike is awesome. And Bike and Bike will be open tomorrow from 1 to 4, I do believe. So go build yourself a horse at Bike and Bike and roll it around town. And
for those of you who don't know what he means, he does mean a bicycle.
Yeah, and freaked out about being late. But Mama's going to help you not freak out about being late because she's going to explain something that's going to sound crazy to all of y'all. And that is that time does not really exist.
Well, here's the thing. I got to thinking. Amazing that some of us actually. And that's the idea here today is I want you guys to crack open that sealed jar we have in our head. We all get caught up in the everyday process of surviving, getting by. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get to work? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we have a pattern of thoughts that we get used to thinking. And the idea here is to make you think, what about this? What if this? What if that? What if I want you to think some different stuff? Oh my gosh. I know. We don't like change. So I'm doing baby steps here. So here's the actual definition of time as we searched it on Google, people. I am one of those people who can't do it myself, so I had someone do it for me. Me and computers don't always get along. We have a marital relationship, and we need counseling. So, I have an electromagnetic current that doesn't always get along with machines. It shuts them down. So, they searched it up for me, and they found this.
We need to take you over to some kind of nuclear power plant or something like that. Some kind of bomb. We need to take you to Columbine, to the bomb making factory.
Demagnetize me. I am the magnetic north for all chaos in the universe. No, this is what they said the definition of time is. It is a measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. Duration, a non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events which succeed one another from past through present or future. Now, did that make sense to all you laymen out there?
Let me see it again. The definition of time is the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues.
And a duration is a non-spatial continuum that is measured in term of events which succeed one another from past through present to future.
Well, I don't know where you are going with this, Mama, but I'm gonna make a quick little observation, and that it this is something that me and if you are a philosopher and you live in Olympia, Washington, then I really there's just no excuse for you not to be hanging out at Media Island because there are some philosophers here. And one thing that we were discussing earlier is how time and history do not actually exist, because if you look at things from a rational point of view, and oftentimes we will find that a rational point of view instills some or brings to light some what people would call irrational observations. And one of these irrational observations that a rational point of view brings about is that history doesn't actually exist. And the past doesn't actually exist because we have absolutely no idea of what has happened in the past. And so, therefore, everything that we think about when we build our conception of the present, everything that we use to build that is basically conjecture regarding what we think may have happened in the past. And there's no way to prove if it has happened in the past because it is the past. And so, therefore, the present is all that exists because the future doesn't exist. That's a bunch of conjecture, too. But
yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. You're in the now, and that it is a gift. That's why we call it the present.
Yes. Jim Morrison said, the now is blessed. Everything else is remembered.
Well, that's not where I was going with it, but it is a very, very important point. And, you know, when we go places, we always leave something behind, which is what is remembered, which is why we call it history. We record things in our memory. Sometimes we're able to write it down and leave a piece of that. Again, that's reality. That's something that we'll get into on another time, though. That is another show. You got to stay tuned if you want to keep up with these things. Let me tell you, is it real or isn't it real? Here's a quote. I brought this in. There's a little paper that you can pick up. It's free. It's called Coffee News, and they have a little thing called quotable quotes. Now, this is by John Ruskin, and it says, "It is a good and safe rule to sojourn in every place as if you meant to spend your life there, never omitting an opportunity of doing a kindness or speaking a true word or making a friend." Now, to me, that is an excellent thing about what we're talking about, because even if you're not going to spend a lot of time, if you do a kindness or you leave an impression, whether there's a history or no history, the impression you leave can make great waves and leave a great weave that may come back on you. Now, this is kind of what I'm talking about. The definition I would give time, if I had to give a theory of my own, now here's those what ifs, is that time is created by man. It's just a measurement that we created because we die. And since we die, our finite time is very important to us because every moment is important. So we have to measure it. Oh my God, it might not be here long. We better have everything down to the most minute, minuscule measurement. So we started finding a way to measure it. And so we started clocking by the days and the nights, by light and darkness, and we found a way to measure time.
And even our unconscious processes, which aided in the creation of this psychic construct that we call our universe, had to have a need to create an abstraction in order to relate themselves and to the collective, to the absolute, and fulfill their function within the absolute. And so those unconscious processes, the cells created this separation and used time to relate themselves to.
We use time to relate how the cells did that.
Well,
we associated that.
I was talking about something that happened even before us. Even before we evolved.
That's a perception.
Yeah. Well, there again I'm leading the topic astray probably, and
I'd be willing to argue that, but see what that is again, boys and girls? That's thinking, by God, we're doing it. I'm so proud.
If you want to hear my thing about it, then you can email me at sirenking@hushmail.com and I'll send you a whole thing about it called The Origin of Spirit. But today you're gonna hear some wisdom from Mamba, the Black Mamba.
Well, first of all, I have red hair, so that eliminates that one. Second of all, I wouldn't say it's wisdom. I'm always searching for it. The thing about aging, though, is that science has proven that our cells do rejuvenate. We all know that our blood cells rejuvenate, our white cells are, as they die off, the red cells go out or white cells go out and blah, blah, blah. You know how it's done. Anybody who's studied medicine knows how it's done. We do rejuvenate our cells. However, at a certain point, they don't rejuvenate as quickly. This is the process of aging, okay? Up till a certain point, our cells rejuvenate with a certain amount of quickness, a certain amount of rapidity. That's not even a word, I don't think, but it is now. Up until a certain point in our lives, we're growing, we're children, we are aging in the fact that we are growing up, but we're not really aging because our cells are rejuvenating, like an octopus losing an arm or leg, not that they have arms and legs, but let's just say an appendage, then it can rejuvenate. Well, we can't grow back an arm and a leg, but our cells do rejuvenate themselves in the same way. So we aren't actually aging so much as we're just growing up. At a certain point, our cells stop rejuvenating at that same rate. That is when the human body actually starts to age. Now, science is trying to discover why. They have no real understanding of it. The aging process is not understood. There's no reason to understand why we start aging and dying. That is the process of dying. At what age that starts, we were looking for it. Ran out of time because I was running to get here. My understanding, the last article I read, it was 21 or 25. Don't quote me, but I'm sure you can find it yourselves. At what point the red blood cells start degenerating. But that is the process of aging. And so the point I'm trying to get to is, so we start dying. And so we have a need for time because of this. Now, with this, the fact that we have time, we created time as a measurement for the fact that we die. Now, with that, we're able to measure all sorts of things. We can measure distance. We can measure all sorts of things because we are a mathematical being. We are rational. We are intelligent. And so with distance, we can take time and measure how fast something goes, speed, correct? Am I misunderstanding something? Now, we can measure how fast a car goes. We can measure how fast a truck goes, planes, people, bullets, sound, light, all sorts of things, which is awesome. I mean, we've been able to break the sound barrier, thunder and lightning. And with these wonderful discoveries, we lost a lot of the mystery. We no longer had to blame the gods for clapping and throwing lightning bolts, because we now know that when lightning strikes, it's actually the fact that the heat of the lightning bolt tears apart the heat tears apart the air, and as the air is coming back together, we sound, the speed of that coming back together is the clap, the thunderclap that we hear, and which is a huge lightning bolt. We also know that we can tell how far away that lightning struck by counting in seconds, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Oh, it was so many miles away from here. Okay, we don't need to worry so much. The storm isn't as close as I thought it was, even though that was a resounding boom and it shook the house. I don't need to worry as badly because I was able to count, you know, 5 seconds before the thunder. I saw the lightning and it was 5 seconds before I heard the thunder. So I don't need to panic, you know. I don't need to run to the basement right now. I don't need to worry about being taken off to Oz. It's okay. We're all right. It's all good. So being the rational and mathematical creatures we are, we're able to use this measurement that we created because of aging, that to measure distance and time and sound and things like that. Now, how many of you really have had those days where you're not worried about anything? Or maybe you're not feeling good, but usually it's when you're in leisure. You know, it's vacation or whatever. Summer vacations when you were a kid are great, when you didn't have a job or when your parents weren't putting you to chores, or you're caught in a good book or lost in a good movie, and you lose track of time. You just kind of, it's a great example of this. When time is no longer important to us, when we're not worried about something, we lose track of it. We're like, what day is it today? It's like, what? Tuesday? What's the date? No, it's not Tuesday. Or if there is a vacation day in the week, you know, on days where there's a holiday and the mail doesn't run and things don't do that, we always seem to lose track because things don't run in a normal pattern and it doesn't seem important to us anymore. And it's amazing how we lose track of time when leisure things happen, because it's nice to not have to worry. Worry seems to, and these are what ifs, mind you, but worry and concern in life seems to keep us on track with time. These are just theories I'm throwing out there for you, things that make you go, but when you're on track constantly worrying about the everyday, is when you're always worried about time. But when you're living your life day to day, in the moment, in the now, enjoying it, enjoying the love and the happiness, the pain as well, and being thankful for it, because if it weren't for the pain, you couldn't appreciate the pleasure, then you just seem to go with the flow, and all the other stuff seems a lot more trivial. Just a thought, just a possibility, mind you. But back to the concept at hand here. So we were able to take time, measure distance, and therefore measure speed. Are we all together here, correct? Am I right about that? Now, in so doing, we were able to, dun dun dun, can you tell I actually thought about this? I took notes. Come up with this really, really awesome theory. And it's one of the theories that has made and broke us at the same time as a people. And this theory is called the theory of relativity. It was created by a genius that flunked out of school. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Yes, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, that would be Einstein. E equals mc squared. Do you know what that stands for? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, or the speed of light times the speed of light. So, what I'm proposing is, if we took a man-made measurement, which, if we weren't dying, we may never have even been quite so astute about, and we came up with a distance created measurement that came up with the speed of light, how can we really be sure that the speed of light is a correctness? Now, mind you, we were able to split atoms. We were able to come up with an atomic weapon, a weapon that has killed mass amounts of people and now holds our whole planet in a state of tension. It also has nuclear energy, which can be a great thing. It can also cause mutations. My question then is, do we know what we're doing? Do we know what we've harnessed? Do we know the exact measurements? Then, I mean, is it an exact measurement? If what we've done is taken something that's based on aging, basically, you know, just a theory, and made an entire science out of it. You know, it's just a thought, just a possibility. I mean, it's amazing how much we do is based on our fear of death. And yet we can create death. It just kind of blows my mind sometimes. My next thought would be, what if all things basically are energy? What if what we think, what we are, what we measure with, you know, if all things are energy, just follow me here. I think all things are energy. You know, we come back to energy. But what we measured, our concept of what energy is incorrect because our measurements were off. Maybe what we think energy is off. Okay, are you following me here so far? We have a concept of what energy is, okay? Because we have the understanding that energy is mass times the speed of light squared. But most people that I've spoken with have this basic understanding that all things break down to being energy at their base, core of all things. So if all things are energy, but our measurement of what energy is incorrect because our measurement of time is incorrect because we created time out of the necessity to measure age. And so therefore, it's a man-made measurement. And man is fallible, period. Then, although we all know energy exists, and yes, science is correct, math is correct, but it could be minutely off. Maybe our understanding of what energy is off. If this is the case, this is the case, mind you, is it possible that the core understanding of what all things come down to is off? Maybe what we think all things are, maybe what we think everything is made of, energy, this energy, which I believe it is something completely different, something completely unearthly even, something absolutely beyond our comprehension at all, because our measurement is fallible. I mean, it's hard to conceive of something that can't be measured because we're measuring it on a conception based on fear. Fear of death. Because we cannot conceive of the eternal. Stranger things have occurred, boys and girls. Really, they have. You know, people get to talking about aliens, people get to talking about things out in outer space, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They get to talking about what reality is, they get to talking about are we here alone, they get to talking about all these other things, and yeah, we can talk about these things. I have no problems with it. I'm down to talk about anything. In fact, it's great to talk about it when you got someone else to talk about it with, but my partner in crime left the scene. And so usually my hope is that one day this will be a live call-in show so I can actually get your feedback, because that is the best way to talk about what if. When you got somebody else to tell you, well, what about this and what about that and what about, what about, what about? Because these are all my thoughts and ideas and possibilities. And the greatest thing in the world is when somebody goes, are you saying, is that possible? Well, what could that possibly be? I love it when I pose a question and I get to sit back and watch six people discuss it. That is the greatest thing in the world to me. I'm wondering right now if anybody's out there listening and discussions have been started. How many of you have stopped to think about these things? And if you haven't, why not? Or if it just never occurred to you before, what are you thinking about it now? Is it worth talking about or thinking about? Why not? Is it interesting? I mean, we go to the movies to be entertained, right? To get our mind off stuff. Why not think about something different just for a little bit? It's worth it. Your brains are meant to use, people. If you don't use it, you lose it. You don't have to think about quantum physics. Have you ever thought about a rainbow? Okay, rainbow is refracted light through a raindrop. Okay. Clouds block the sun, and yet clouds are the accumulation of water on a dust particle that when those dust particles get heavy enough with condensed water, they fall as rain. Correct? So why then do we get a gray day instead of a multicolored day? Why does the sun not come through those clouds as refracted light, when all it is condensation on a bunch of dust in the sky? That bothered me for a long time. I really wanted to know. How can we get a rainbow when it's broken through raindrops, but we don't get a rainbow when it's coming through the clouds? I don't get it. Well, I finally figured it out. It took me a long time, because when the particles of dust have condensation on them, it's not yet dense enough to break the sunlight. But it took me a lot of thinking. And see, it took me a lot of talking to a lot of people to figure it out. I asked so many. I would actually go around and ask people and do a poll. You know what else I did a poll about? Wearing bras. I sure did. It is not the most comfortable thing to wear. So I wanted to know why women had to wear bras and guys didn't have to wear such contraptions to run. People got really weird when you ran around asking about those things. I have theories on high heels, too. See, these are the things I run around asking people. Do you ever wonder about these things? See, I do. I do. This is the type of thing I would love to see people wonder about. Anything. Anything. When was the last time you went puddle jumping, my friends? I went puddle jumping last night, and I am 34 years old next month. I want to see all of you break the mold just a little bit. Think. Enjoy. Laugh. Love. Live out loud. You know, there was a joke that I saw today, and it said, what do you get when you cross a poison ivy with a four-leaf clover? You get a rash of good luck. I'm waiting for the rash of good luck to come. I used to have on my door something that said, and it's an old Irish prayer, so beware. May those who love us, and those who don't, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles, so we know them by their limping. I put that on my front door so that people who came to my front door would be warned as well as blessed. I wanted them all to know that I would know them by their limping, the type of household that they were entering. Think about that for a minute. If we lived in a world where all of our enemies were able to be seen by a sign. Now, I said earlier, I am the magnetic north for all chaos in the universe. I say this because my life has been a comedy of tragedies. Woohoo! And I laugh. I am called the Pirate Captain Mamba because I live my life on the adventure of the high seas of life. And people think I'm slightly crazy and might be right. But my question to you is, who is more the fool? The fool who is inside or the fool who lets them out? Really, though, how many of you sat down today and thought an entirely new thought? You didn't ponder all of the things that you think about every day. You sat down and you thought about something in completely a different way. You've heard the term think outside the box. Do you know what it means? Really? Do you really know what it means? So if you're all standing in a circle, and the circle is getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and everyone is looking down at the ground, and they're all stomping their feet, and they're all crunching together and crunching together and crunching together, and it's getting so uncomfortable, and you can't get out, and you can't get out, and you can't get out. What are you going to do? I want to know. Somebody tell me. What are you going to do? I'd be the one who's not in the circle in the first place, watching them wondering why they're listening to everybody and crunching together in the circle. Here's another question for you. What are you willing to do to solve your problems? Anything? Really? Anything? Take off all your clothes. Everybody's going, what? Well, really, the person asking that question is just willing to see if you're willing to do anything. I'd start taking off my shoes. Because they're not going to let you take off all your clothes. But the question is, are you willing? Most of us aren't. Most of us are so conditioned. We aren't willing. Because we don't think. We don't get outside of our own mind enough to look at it. Remember this. The greatest prison there is isn't one that we're put inside by another person. The greatest prison there is the one we create in our own mind. You've heard all the songs, you've heard all the poems, you've heard all the great philosophers. When was the last time you looked inside yourself? That's the most frightening place in the world to look. Now I give you some way, way heavy, deep science and things to think about today. What if energy isn't what we think it really is? Because it could be based on a measurement that's faulty because we think of it an age? That's some pretty heavy stuff. That's some pretty intensely heavy stuff. That's stuff that's like, catch the fabric of the universe off guard. You know? That's the type of thing that could get all the scientists in the world in a furor of thought if they really went crazy about it. But it doesn't really matter. What really matters is the fact that it gets people talking to each other, which is great. Do you know at one point they were going to make elevators talk because people don't talk to each other in an elevator? They wanted to see if it would stimulate strangers. What has got us so afraid in humanity of one another that we will not even reach out and give a little bit of ourselves? If you had to define love today, what would your definition be? Let me see. Let me see if I can even look it up. I'm gonna do the unthinkable here. I'm gonna try to use the computer. That is such a scary thought. Dun dun dun. As the computer turns. Definitions. Let's see what we can do. Leaving me alone in the control room with the computer. They're so afraid. They don't even know what they've done.
All right, boys and girls, let's see what's going to happen here and now.
All right. I want to see what'll come up. If I look it up, now every one of you is thinking,
I know what my definition is.
Definition of love. Let's see. Well. Love, 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 love. Let's find love. Well, what do you think? I'm wondering. Now, I can tell you what my definition is, but I want to find the actual proper definition first. Oh, I should probably translate it to English, huh? I'm going to have it in Swahili here if I'm not careful. See, I'm so not tech-swavy. Arabic, Chinese, Danish, Finnish, French, German, Greek, Hebrew, Hindi, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Norwegian, Polish, Portuguese, Romanian, Russian, French, Swedish, Turkish. Now, we don't want to translate it. We'd like it in English. We just like definitions. Bill Clinton, da 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 da. You know, I think I'm really dumb when it comes to computers. That is just the official way it is. La 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 la. Goodness gracious, boys and girls, there's more silence while I look for this than anything else in the world, isn't there? Wikipedia, there we go. There we go, there we go. Love is any number of emotions related to a sense of strong affection and attachment. The word love can refer to a variety of different things, feelings, states, and attitudes, ranging from generic pleasure, I loved that meal, to intense interpersonal affection, I love my husband. This diversity of uses and meanings, combined with the complexity of the feelings involved, makes love unusually difficult to consistently define, even compared to other emotional states. As an abstract concept, love usually refers to a deep, ineffable feeling of tenderly caring for another person. Even this limited concept of love, however, encompasses a wealth of different feelings, from the passionate desire and intimacy of romantic love to the non-sexual emotional closeness of familial and platonic love, to the profound oneness or devotion of religious love. Love, in its various forms, acts as a major facilitator of interpersonal relationships and, owing to its central psychological importance, is one of the most common themes in the creative arts. Well, now we know. At least, that's the Wikipedia definition. Now, I can give you my definition. It's a lot simpler. Spent a whole lifetime working on it, living it. Anytime you give of yourself, doesn't matter if it's to a friend, to a romance, to something you like, doesn't matter. Could be a small. See? Cuts out the problem of the talking elevator, doesn't it? Cuts out a lot of government expending on trying to find out if people talk to each other on an elevator, too. Boy, gosh, I just solved that problem. Solved world peace, too. Got it all taken care of. Just smile. Fake it till you make it, boys and girls. No, really. You give of yourself to another human being. It's as simple as that. My personal thought, again, what if we are so afraid of being hurt? We are so afraid of the loss of that love that we get back. When someone gives that back to you and then it gets cut off, we are taught possession from the time we are a child. My cat, my toy, my mom, my dad, my house, my whatever. And when we lose that, it's devastating. So we learn to pull back. We learn to not give of ourselves. We learn to be afraid. We learn to take care of ourselves. We learn to do for ourselves. We learn to take care of number one first. We learn that, by God, I don't need to take care of them. I take care of myself. Everything I've got, I earned. This is me taking care of me. Don't smile at a stranger. They might interact. They might be crazy. Might take from you. They might steal from you. They might think you're trying to start a conversation. What a world we live in. And we wonder why we need atomic bombs that are based on energy that might not actually be from the correct measurement here, boys and girls. They might not be. And then you got me, who's worried about time because I'm running late, and so I am running my body all the way across the Olympian townscape as fast as I can hoof it, thinking to myself, I got to go to bike and build myself a bike, because at least I put my own two hands effort into it, and I can feel accomplished, and I'm riding that thing around once I get it done, and I'm going, look, it's my ship. I did it. It's my ark. What's an ark, Lord? That's what I'll say. What's an arc, Lord? I did it. It's mine. And if the pedals fall off, I'll have no one to blame but myself. But I'll be having fun the whole time. I'll be smiling like a crazy person. Ear to ear. I'll be grinning. I was doing that last night, too. I was walking around in the rain, and I decided I was going to have a moment of pure pleasure. When was the last time any of you went out for no particular reason, and just because the moment struck you, did something completely strange and fun, just because it was fun? Or were you too afraid of what someone would think? Dun, 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 dun. When was the last time you saw a kid worry about what somebody would think? Or did they just go out and have fun? Yeah, that's what I thought. So I ran up the stairs into this empty parking lot that had puddles. And I started splashing in the puddles, and I started saying, singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. And that was off key, and I was off key, and I was splashing in the puddles and spinning around like a crazy woman. And I looked like a crazy woman, and I was having fun. That's what it was all about, of course. Yep, And I know people were looking at me like, she's nuts. And that's okay. I had fun. And my friend had fun. And I've done, and I went puddle jumping with my kids. And they have fun. And you know what? I walk down the streets of Olympia here, and I see our street musicians out playing. Musicians? Hey, can you do that? Musicians? I see our street musicians. Musicians? I can't get that word out of my mouth for love nor money today. Blah, blah, blah. Musicians. Correct enunciation is important. I see our street musicians out playing in the street. Say that three times fast. And I'll stop and I'll dance. That offends some people. Why do some people get offended for seeing another person have fun? Why do we not want to see other people have joy? Why is it not okay to see people who don't have a home have more joy than people who do? Curious to me. Maybe it's their energy. It could be the energy, but it could be because we have energy measured wrong. It could be because it's the energy is actually not measured correctly, and it's all based on a measurement made by man that's so far off because we measured it on our fear of death because we're afraid of aging, and energy is actually so real that it's some sort of weird alien plankton, you know? It could be so far off that it's we're all vibrating around on an energy based on some really, really bizarre thing, you know? Maybe we're actually all symbiotic with some really strange, profuse thing like that, you know? Who knows? Maybe we're actually the thought process of a gigantic turtle. You never know. You don't know these things. I mean, what if? These are things I wonder some days. These are things I wonder. I really do. This could be why things are so profuse and strange. Because it seems strange to me that it's not okay for a homeless man. Now, they're houseless, not homeless, because they seem to be having more fun out there with their guitars and their eccentric clothing. And I'm out there dancing with them. I'm having a good time. My kids are having a good time. Everybody's having a good time. And they ain't got no money. Ain't got no money. Ain't got no car. Ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't worried about time. Because tomorrow's just going to come and ain't going to be no different than yesterday. So today's a present. Let's all have fun. And everybody's all frowning and mad at them. Why? Because they're having a good time. They ain't got no house and they ain't got no money and they ain't got no car and they got to worry about paying for it. Mm-hmm. How dare they have a good time?
You can't make any money off of it. It must be illegal. We'll figure out a way to make that illegal. If it's fun, people want to do it, and it's going to waste their time from making money for us, we'll figure out a way to make it illegal. Don't y'all worry.
How dare they be cold and not have a place to sleep and still be having a good time? They don't have to pay bills. All they're trying to do is play some music in the street and want a little bit of change. That's terrible. And and look at them smile. Wait a minute. Smiling. That what was my definition of love now? I said that love is just giving of yourself to another human being. It could be even as small as a smile. They're showing me love. That's it. That is an expression of energy, and energy could be an alien plankton. Could be that we're all a dream of a gigantic turtle.
Well, I thought that you couldn't tell if anybody loved you or not unless they bought you a bunch of things. How you tell your mom and dad loves you is when they get you all them expensive toys for Christmas. And how you tell when your girlfriend loves you is when she, you know, puts out or whatever every time you want her to. And how you tell if your boyfriend loves you is if he buys you all kind of crazy stuff.
Poor unfortunate souls.
It is.
In pain.
It is.
In need.
I don't think we should rule, as crazy as it sounds, that we could all be the dream of some other thing, or as crazy as it sounds that we could all be each other's dream, or as crazy as anything that we can come up with sounds to explain this sort of, you know, psychic construct, explain the human condition, explain the universal condition,
That sounds like a disease.
Yeah. No explanation should be ruled out, because obviously if we had a good idea of what it was and if we understood it, then we wouldn't be living in such a crazy way, running around hating on each other, killing each other, raping each other over silly ego construct stuff. And so that's why I like this show, Mystic Possibilities, because it...
Isn't it better when there's somebody here to actually talk back to me? Oh my God, I get tired of hearing my own voice. I was so alone. I can't wait until y'all are calling me back. I really can't. I really can't.
The number here is 360-352-1646. So if anybody would like to call in and chat with the lovely and wise Miss Mamba, then they need to call in right now. 352-1646. My brain's not working right.
At least it's working, and I'm not talking to myself anymore. Thank God. I feel so saved. He's my knight in shining armor here for the day. As I start stuttering, I just don't know what to do with myself.
Well, Mamba is a new DJ here on KOWA. This is only her second show, so I'm sure
he's
that y'all
so full of it.
This is only your second. This is only the second Mystic Possibilities show.
Only the second missing pop, but I can't talk at all. You know what it is? It's being up all night trying to move into this house, being up all night with my kids, my friends, and trying to run my butt down here.
Just to bring y'all some wisdom. So I'm sure that knowing all that, the KOWA audience, the KOWA faithfuls are not going to hate
on you. It's lack of oxygen to the brain. It takes a lot of oxygen to run across Olympia, all right?
Yes, it does. So y'all give it up for Mamba, irregardless of the stuttering. And we'll be more prepared next time.
I spent $6,000 to get a broadcasting certification, and then I learned how to stutter when I had kids.
Well, there you have it.
Eloquently, I was beautiful on air. I graduated with honors, and I could have even started a 900 number if I wanted, and then I had kids. I ruined it all.
Nah.
You notice when you're a parent, you can't finish a sentence?
Never. You get that. I've never been a parent before.
You put that. Would you get it? Ayla, whoever you are, get over here. There's a what if for you. If you can raise all your children and be sane when you're done, you have not done the job right. Because they're going to make you crazy. That's their job. That is what they do. And they do it well. I know I did it well. My parents were not sane. I was sure of it. And now, I love my mother so much. She is such a wonderful person. My father didn't survive raising us. So I know we did a darn good job. We killed him in the process. Poor man. I love my father. He was a wonderful man. And my mother, she's coming to live with me. Because we owe it to her to support her.
Everybody owes that to their mother. But, so, the number here is 352-1646. If anybody wants to call in and discuss some Mystic Possibilities, they are more than welcome to. And we're going to discuss some Mystic Possibilities here on the net show. This is going to be... the first ever, well, it's the third ever, but we're giving it a new name. This is the third ever official KOWA news and editorial and opinion show, and it is called Air Olympia, and that's going to be from 2 to 4. We have some awesome guests. Mr. Henry Noble is going to be calling up, and hopefully some other guests will show up. If not, then...
Well, we know for sure my mama will be here.
Yep. And so... That look forward to that, everyone, and we love y'all here at KOWA. We really, really do. I'm gonna close the show out with some music here, and
thank you so much. I want we'll you to keep what if thinking, talking, and opening that mind. Have a great, great Saturday.
We're gonna play Bob Dylan, "The Chimes of Freedom Flashing." This is a Mystic Possibility for you at the end. What if the chimes of freedom were flashing? What if? Well, let's turn that Mystic Possibility into an actuality right now.
Far between sundown's finish and midnight's broken toll, We ducked inside the doorways, thunder went crashing. As majestic bells of bolts struck shadows in the sounds, seeming to be the chimes of freedom flashing. Flashing for the warriors whose strength is not to fight. Flashing for the refugees on the unarmed road of flight. And for each and every underdog soldier in the night. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. Through the city's melted furnace, unexpectedly we watched, with faces hidden as the walls were tightening. As the echo of the wedding bells before the blowing rain dissolved into the bells of the lightning. Tolling for the rebel, tolling for the rake, tolling for the luckless, they are abandoned and forsaken. Tolling for the outcast, burning constantly at stake. And we gaze at the chimes of freedom flashing. Through the mad, mystic hammering of the wild, ripping hail, the sky cracked its palms in naked wonder at the clinging of the church bells, blew far into the breeze, leaving only bells of lightning and its thunder. Striking for the gentle, striking for the kind, striking for the guardians and protectors of the mind. And the poet and the painter far behind his rightful time. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. In the wild cathedral evening, the rain unraveled tales for the disrobed, faceless forms of no position. Tolling for the tongues with no place to bring their thoughts, all down in taken for granted situations. Tolling for the deaf and blind, tolling for the mute, for the mistreated mateless mother, the mistitled prostitute, for the misdemeanor outlaw, chained and cheated by pursuit. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. Even though a cloud's white curtain in a far-off corner flared, a hypnotic splattered mist was slowly lifting.
This has been Mystic Possibilities, recorded live in the KOWA like studios in Olympia, Washington.
Fired but far the ones condemned to drift or else be kept from drifting. Tolling for the searching ones on their speechless seeking trail, for the lonesome-hearted lovers with too personal a tale. And for each unharmful gentle soul misplaced inside a jail. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. Starry-eyed and laughing, as I recall when we were caught, trapped by